Great job, guys. That was beautiful. For our last congregational song before the message this morning, let's all stand and turn to hymn number 68. Shall we all stand? Hymn number 68. Hymn number 68.
Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Shall see Him by and by. Only faintly now I see Him with the darkling veil between. But a blessed day is coming when His glory shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by.
On the last stanza.
Face to face, oh blissful moment, face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by.
Amen. Please remain standing.
Okay, remain standing. Take your Bibles. We are going to go to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, and we're also going to turn to, though not reading it at the beginning, to Numbers chapter 33. So you may want to find yourself there as well. So Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Numbers 33, although we won't read Numbers 33 now. We'll read it in a little bit. I'm glad you're here today. It is a packed house. We're excited to have everybody here. And we're going to hear a special in just a second from Harold and his sisters, but I'm going to read this passage of Scripture. We'll pray. And then we'll have them come sing, and then we'll get into the message this morning. So Deuteronomy chapter number 6, and we will start reading in verse number 1. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 1. I'll read it, you just follow along with me. We'll read down to verse number 7. The Bible says, "Now these are the commandments and statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land where thou goest to possess it. that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes, his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord of thy God, thy fathers, has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We'll pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for this time. We thank you for fathers. I pray that you bless this Father's Day. I pray that you help us to honor the fathers that are here. I pray that you help us to see the purpose of a father, your purpose. I pray that you bless this service. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. I'm going to ask my sister, Anitra, and as well as my two nieces, Nani and Sharon, we'd like to do a special song.
Amen. Thank you for that. It's a blessing, and it's good to hear good music today. That's a wonderful thing to be able to have in a church. And I do, again, thank everybody for being here. Those of you who are here for the wedding, we are really glad you were here. It was a wonderful wedding yesterday. I really enjoyed the wedding. I enjoyed the setup on Friday, and then Saturday, the wedding. It was a wonderful time. Thank you for everybody who helped and worked. It was a joyous event. About two individuals who became one, and they are special. And I hope that they have a wonderful, happy, God-filled life ahead of them. And so we're in the book of Deuteronomy this morning, and it's Father's Day. And it's a great day to celebrate, to honor fathers. I am thankful to be a father. It's a wonderful joy to be a father. And I remember the day I became a father. Actually, each time I became a father again, when my children were born, the first, second, third, and fourth child, that kind of made me again a father once again. I remember the day exactly. I remember the events that led to them being born. And of course, then they would grow to call me Papa. And I really enjoy having children. They're blessed. And I am blessed to be able to be a father. And it's an incredible privilege to be able to be called a dad. But it's also a daunting responsibility to have to raise a child, to not only be a productive part of society, but also for a Christian, it's our job as parents is to instill Christ in our children so that they live the life of Christ as they come to be adults, so they demonstrate Christ to the world around them. And that's a big task to be able to do that. And so I wanted to preach a message this morning about the purpose of a father to help us to be able to instill Christ into our children. And the reality is this morning that society, in a large part, doesn't really understand the role of a father. And today, in a large part, the role of a father is being lost. And we don't understand, what are fathers to do? How are they to be involved in their children's lives? It reminds me of a small boy who was at the zoo with his father. His father was trying to be a good dad and to teach his child some lessons and to enjoy a good time. When they went to look at the tigers, and he was letting his son know how ferocious these tigers are and how they need to be respected and to be taken care of, that we don't get too close to them or be in a position where we're with them without the fences and the gates. And he was telling how terrible they could be. And he said, "Dad, if the tigers got out and they ate you up," he was looking kind of solemn as he looked to his father, and his father said, "Yes, son," he's ready to console his son and teach him important truth. He said, "Dad, which bus do I take home?" Sometimes dads are undervalued. They're not. We don't understand their role and their importance. And the truth is there isn't a lot of focus on fathers in our society. So today I want to look at God's purpose for dads. I want to look for fathers. Your job, your purpose is to love God. That's your job. That's your purpose, to love God. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. That's the other passage I told you to turn to. And I want to see a story about Moses. Now, these verses that we read in our text in Deuteronomy are the second giving of the law. In fact, Deuteronomy literally means the second law. And it was God reemphasizing the law that he had given to the children of Israel. And so in Exodus chapter 33, this passage of Scripture is right before Moses goes up to the Mount Sinai the second time. If you remember the first time, he went up to the Mount Sinai and he was there with God and he met with God, and God gave him these two tablets of stone. And on these two tablets were the Ten Commandments. And Moses, as he weighed his way down from the mount with these two commandments two tablets of the stone with the Ten Commandments to give to the children of Israel, he hears in his ears the voice of the noise of war. And you know the story, how he goes down the story and all the children of Israel were dancing and partying, and they had built themselves a golden calf that they were worshiping. Unbelievable. And Moses gets angry. He throws the tablets down. They break. And he grinds up this calf, puts it in water, makes everybody drink it. That was his punishment to them. And God is also very angry at the children of Israel for them rejecting him as God, to turning to this golden calf, and he was angry at them. And that's where we kind of pick up the story in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 1. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, and thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, go into the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and he will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, into a land flowing with milk and honey.
For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. This is a powerful passage of Scripture. So again, what's happened is the children of Israel have made a calf, and they've worshipped this calf, and Moses has destroyed the Ten Commandments. And before Moses goes back up to the mount, God tells him, listen, Moses, you take this people, you go into the promised land, I will send my angel before thee, but I am not going. So here's the deal that God is making with them. He's saying, I'm going to give you the promised land. He reminds them, listen, I promised this to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. It's a good land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. I will send you to that land just like I promised, but I'm not going. You can have my blessings without my presence. It's an interesting deal that God makes with the nation of Israel. I don't want to challenge our fathers this morning, and really everybody here today. Would you take that deal? You could have the blessings of God on your family, on your home, on your life, but not the presence of God. Everything that comes with God, but not Him Himself. Would we take that deal? And again, I want to challenge you here at Kauai Baptist Church to challenge and say, listen, we want to crave as fathers the presence of God on our lives and our families. We want God with us. Or do you want God just for His blessings? And again, fathers, we need to love God. Going back to Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 5, the command that God gave to the children of Israel, specifically to the fathers, is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. So for us as believers, our job is to love God. Don't just pray for the blessings. And I'm guilty of this. So many times when we pray for the blessings of God, don't we? God, protect my family. God, give us this. God, provide for us here. God, do this for us. God, heal this. God, do that. That's what we're praying. And many times what we need to do is just stop and pray for His presence. God, would You be with me? God, would You help me? God, would You come alongside of me? I need You in my life. But we pray for the blessings, not the person. We need to love God. We need to love His presence in our life. So the first purpose of a father is to love God. The second is to grow our children for God, grow them spiritually. Going back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, the Bible says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. I get from this that you cannot have too much Bible. Amen. I mean, it's everywhere. It's all over the place. It's all over their houses. It's when they rise up. It's when they sit down. It's when they go to bed. It's all a part of their lives. Fathers, it's your job to teach your children about God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's your job to train your children. I'm so thankful in our church for the ministries that we have, the programs that we have for our children. Next week we're going to hear a performance from Patch the Pirate Club. We love Pastor Pirate Club, and they're meeting right now, and they're getting their instruction, they're receiving their training, and we even have Pee Wee Club for the little guys, and they're getting their instruction, they're getting their training. And then tonight we'll have, or I don't know if it's tonight, but we have youth group where they meet and they get the instruction and training. And I'm so thankful for these children, for these ministries for our children. They're a blessing. But if all we do as parents is rely on the ministries of the church to train our children for God, we're woefully short. We need much more than that. We need parents teaching daily about the principles of the Word of God. But more than teaching, we need parents and fathers who model the Word of God, who live out the Word of God, who says, this is what God says, and this is how I'm going to obey. Who aren't just teachers of the Word, but are doers as well. You need to instruct them yourself. You need to model the Christian life for your children. And I believe in Ephesians chapter 6, one of the greatest things that provoke children to wrath is a parent who says, do as I say, not as I do. You want to see a child get angry? Tell them to live a life that you're not living. They'll get frustrated and angry, and they will be provoked to wrath. I've seen it. I've even had my own children hold me accountable, say, well, you do it, Papa. We have to model the Christian life, to live it out, because they're watching. They know what you say, but they also know what you do. So the challenge to us as fathers is, yes, love God. Love Him with all of your heart. Don't just pray for His blessings. Pray for His presence. Say, God, would You be with me? Would You go before me? Would Your hand be on my life as I yield to You? And then would You grow your children to instruct them, to train them, and to live the Christian life? But there's a third purpose, and that is to demonstrate service. I've heard it said that the best gift a father can give his children is to love their mother. Love their mother. Love their wife. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. You know, oftentimes we think of those people in our life that God puts them there for serving us. You know, I have my wife is there to serve me and my children are there to serve me, and that's not the case. In fact, it's the direct opposite. God has you in their life to serve them, to love them, to provide for them. So I want to challenge you, demonstrate service, love your spouse, love your wife, and then provide for your family. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, but if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own household, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. So love your wife and provide for your family. Work hard, serve them, give for them, and sacrifice for them, and then serve God. Serve God by sharing the gospel and helping others. One of the greatest joys that we have is to be obedient to our Heavenly Father. In fact, that's where joy comes from. It's from following His commands. It's from obeying Him, and joy will come as a result. Before Jesus left this earth to return to heaven, He gave us the Great Commission, the Great Commandment, if you will. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even in the world. Amen. Specifically, fulfilling this command brings joy. Yea, they that go forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. It's a great way to produce joy in our families, to produce joy in our lives. And fathers, we are to lead our families to serve others, to share the gospel. We need to work at this. It's our job. He's given us this commission. Say, I'm not very good at serving others. We need to find out how we can become good to serve others. We need to share the gospel too, to give the gospel, to tell others about Jesus Christ. If we're not careful, I think the world can shame us into being ashamed of Jesus. Oh, you're not supposed to speak of Him. You're not supposed to talk of Him. You're not supposed to tell others about your faith. Why not? It's bringing us joy. It's bringing us hope. It's bringing us peace. It's bringing us eternal life. He died for us on the cross. The least I can do is tell others about Him. I heard this quote this week. I was gone to this leadership conference, and there's a lot of things I heard that helped me and that were encouragement to me, but one quote really stuck out in my mind, and it's this: the gospel doesn't need to earn the right to be heard. Think about that. So many times we think that we need to earn the right to be heard. Maybe we do, but the gospel doesn't. The gospel doesn't need to earn the right to be heard. It's the gospel. Tell it to every creature. You tell it to everybody you can see that needs to hear it, and we don't know exactly who needs to hear it, so we tell it to everybody. We don't have to earn the right to be heard. Jesus died for the right for us to tell it. So share the gospel. Give the gospel. Share it with others. Serve others. Let's get busy about sharing Jesus with our world. And fathers, I hope that you would lead the way. Fathers, you're amazing. You have a tough job. It's tough. It's tough being a mom too. And I also want to recognize those that grew up in families that didn't have a father. Again, we appreciate and we love you too. Important highlighting the roles of fathers that we need. And I want to thank fathers. Thank you for coming to church today. I do hope that we could have served you, we could have loved you. But my prayer for you is that you would love God. Love God. And if anything gets in the way of loving God, it's my prayer that we would do all that we can to get rid of it. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. If there's something that's gotten in the way of your heart between you and God, where you're not loving Him as fervently as you once did or you should, I hope that we take inspection of our heart and we say, what is it that's causing us to not be where we need to be? We all need it all the time, where we inspect our lives, we inspect our hearts, we say, what's between me, my soul, and the Savior? What's causing me not to love Him like I should? And I hope of all the things that you can do for your family, the one thing you'd make sure you do is that you grow them spiritually. You nurture and admonish them in the Lord. Get them not only to the ministries of the church, but get yourself the tools that you need to equip to instruct in the Word of God. And then model it. And then lead your family to serve others and give the gospel. We can make a difference. We can make a difference in our community and the communities in which we live if we'll simply love God, grow together, and serve others. I believe we can change the world. Make a huge difference. So I want to challenge you with that end. I also want to challenge you here if you're a father or anybody else and you do not know Jesus as your Savior. Man, you're missing out. Really, you're missing out. Like, it's not just a cliche. You are literally missing out big time. Because here's the deal. We're all sinners. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We all have sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not much you can do to excuse yourself at that point. You're just guilty. I'm just guilty. And I know we like to say, well, I'm not as bad as some people, or I'm better than that person, but that's the problem, is you're still a sinner. And the Bible says very clearly that the wages of sin is death. It doesn't say the wages of being not quite as good as somebody else. And you're not quite as good as this other. No, it just says sin, period. The wages of sin is death. Death is separation. When we die physically, our soul is separated from our body. When we die spiritually, we're separated from God. And the place of punishment that God ordained that we should spend eternity is a place the Bible defines as hell. And that's what I deserve because I'm a sinner. Even one sin, I'm guilty. But truth be told, is we're usually guilty of one sin multiple times a day. We're good at being sinners because we are sinners. We're all sinners. But the Bible is so amazing in that it doesn't leave us here. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it is a gift. My son was asking me, we were driving on the road, and we saw a church, and he said, what church is that? I said, well, that's a Catholic church. He's like, oh, okay. And a couple minutes down the road, he's like, so what's wrong with the Catholics? He innately knew something was wrong with the Catholics. That, I say, we did a good job. No, it's the reality is I explained to him the problem with the Catholic Church is it teaches that you can be good to get to heaven. That if you do enough good works, and if your good outweighs your bad, you can get to heaven. The problem with that is, it doesn't work because we have to pay for sin. Good works don't equal death. The payment for sin is death. The wages of sin is death. To pay for sin, something has to die. The first option and the worst option is us. Death for hell in all eternity. I don't like that option. The only other option is that somebody else can die for you. But here's the deal. It's not just somebody else. The person has to be able to pay your penalty for sin, which means they themselves can have no sin. Because if they had to pay for their own sin, they couldn't die for your sin. And not just your sin, but the sins of the whole world. So the sacrifice actually has to be an infinite, sinless sacrifice. And the only one to fit that description is Jesus. He's God in the flesh. He's infinite. He's perfect. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was tempted on all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And he became the sacrifice for sin. You see, salvation is not a reward for the righteous. It's a gift for the guilty. God wants to give you a gift, and you can do nothing to earn it. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works." Listen to that. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. It's a gift. You cannot earn a gift. Your good works cannot outweigh your bad to give them a gift. And by the way, if that's the way you give gifts to your children, that's not a gift. They're earning that. And that becomes a reward. And then the Bible says then that it's not of grace. It's of works. And salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So how do you receive that gift? Well, it's just that. You receive it. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's a simple act of faith, believing that Jesus died on the cross for you. Knowing that we are sinners, knowing that we deserve to pay for our own sin, but Jesus paid it for us. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to become a child of God. And so if you're here today, you say, "Pastor, I'm not sure that my sins are forgiven." That's the key. Are your sins forgiven? Not are you a good person? Not do your good works outweigh your bad works? But are your sins forgiven? It doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter if you're a Baptist. It doesn't matter where you go. Is Jesus your Savior? That's the question. Is Jesus your Savior? Because the worst thing I can do is say, "Hey, if you become a Baptist, then you can go to heaven." That's wrong. Do you know Jesus? We point to Jesus. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you today. We thank you for fathers. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for the many that came out today. What a wonderful day to be in your house. It's a little warm, but I'd rather have it warm and packed than cold and empty. Amen. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for in your word you tell us to love you. But Lord, when we see you from your word, we can't help but love you. But I pray that you'd help us to love you with all of our heart, for fathers, for mothers, for children. And then to grow in your word, God, to grow in our relationship with you, to grow together, and then to serve others. But God, my prayer now shifts to those that are here today that might not know for sure that Jesus is their Savior, that don't know for sure that their sins are forgiven. And Lord, in just a moment, I'm going to pray for them. God, I pray that you would use this day that some would be saved that might not be saved today. And now with every head bowed and every head closed, I like to do this for sake of privacy. I don't look around. I want to have the person that's next to you to have the privacy of this moment. And you say, "Pastor, in this moment, with every head bowed and every head closed, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. I don't know for sure that my sins are forgiven. And I've gone to church. But we realize salvation is not by going to church. I've even given to the church financially, but again, it's not by works, which we have done. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that my sins are forgiven. And that's you here today. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you that. I would not do that. But I do want to pray for you. And whether you're in the overflow or you're here in the main auditorium, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure that Jesus is my Savior. If you'd slip your hand up, I'll see it. You can put it right back down. Anybody here in the main auditorium, say, Pastor, I'm not sure that my sins are forgiven. I see that hand. Anybody else? Say, I want to raise my hand as well and say, I'm not sure my sins are forgiven. I don't know. Listen, there was a time in my life when I didn't know either. There's no shame in that. We've all been there. So if you're here today, say, Pastor, I'm not sure. Would you slip your hand up? I'll see it. You can put it right back down. One raise their hand. I didn't embarrass them. I won't embarrass you. Would you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Slip it up. I'll see it. You can put it right back down. Is there anybody in the overflow? I'm looking in the overflow now. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? I'll see it. You can put it right back down. God, I do pray for the one that raised their hand. Lord, I do pray that today would be their day of salvation. God, I would never want to leave here without knowing for sure that you are my Savior. You went to the cross for us so that we might know. God, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Lord, we thank you for this service. We pray that you bless this time of invitation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to turn in our hymn books to hymn number 10. I have decided to follow Jesus. Hymn number 10.